Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. And this week we're going to be speaking about technology and halacha and hashkafa. You know, schools have been closed now for a few months, till the end of the school season, possibly till the end of the year, possibly till they have a vaccine. It could be 12 months. So using Zoom to educate our children, is it technology to the rescue? Here's the debate, or fakert, we're bringing the pestilence of the internet, the scourge. You know, the internet, 30% of all use is pornography. It's a fact. If you Google internet use, forgetting about kfira, internet addiction, games. So your kids are on the phone, they're listening, it's horrible. How can you listen to a Rebbe as it is in class? I used to fall asleep. Imagine on the phone, not with other friends there. So is it a savior, or is the cure greater than the disease? So now they have Zoom tablets that they're selling for $125 by technology organizations, for school, for kids. Only Zoom, it uses nothing else. Is it a Yeshua or not? So who are we going to have on this? Rabbi Nechemya Gottlieb, who was tasked by Rabbi Matisyo Solomon for coming up with a chinuch solution for our generation, the danger of the internet. How do we keep our families in a migdash mat? How is our home a mishkan, not invaded by this new plague called internet? He's also the founder of TAG. He has over 400 volunteers. He was the head behind the City Field Internet Asifa. He's the superstar of keeping your house clean, Rabbi Nechemya Gottlieb. He will explain the Rosh Hashivas of Lakewood who said, no Zoom for children in Maestas. We will have from Chabad, the Mashpia, the most watched rabbi on YouTube, quite a title, Rabmanis Friedman. And he'll be speaking about using technology for education and why not use, you know, if we deal with the dangers of the internet on a day-to-day basis, it's unavoidable. Well, why not get some benefit from it? And one of the things, and Chabad does this very successfully, and one of the questions that we're going to discuss with him, the Alter Rebbe, that was so famously against, you know, he believed, keep the Jews in their ghetto. When Napoleon was going to invade Russia, he said, "In Napoleon will bring wealth, emancipation, enlightenment to the Jewish people. You think that's good?" He said, "No, I'd prefer Yerushalayim and poverty and ghettos than emancipation, wealth, and kfira." Well, if that was the opinion of the Baal HaTanya, what has changed? And then we're going to have on the second part of our program, Dr. Eli Shapiro and Dr. Meir Zwicker, and they're going to be discussing the mental health issues that are going on now. People locked up in, you know, social distancing, quarantine with their families. It's been 2 months. It's going to be months more, right? And what do we do about the angst, panic, shalom bias issues, harmony? Right, dealing with the children. Interestingly, by the way, my feeling about this is, and I think maybe I'm a yachid here because maybe I'm maybe a little bit older, but I remember once hearing a song, The Cat in the Cradle, and it's basically the gist of the song is it's a musishmuz. How, you know, that child who's kriching on your nervin? Well, guess what? Before you could blink, he's going to be in school, then he's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, then he's going to be gone, married, living in a different country maybe, and you're going to try to get him on the phone for 10 minutes, you're going to feel lucky. It's like when my grandchildren come over to the house, so, you know, some people, they say, oh, they make noise. I said, you know, when you're in a supermarket, if you own a supermarket and you're sitting by the register and you hear ka-ching, that doesn't make the owner nervous. It makes him, oh, ka-ching, it's good. I said, what's more beautiful than hearing these sounds? So I personally don't find it stressful, but many people do find it stressful. So we're going to have these two mechanchim psychologists discuss that. What's the silver lining, how to deal with it, etc. Okay, so I want to say like a Torah thought. For 2 months already, the doors of our shuls are closed. And we don't go once a week, lahavdol benachayim, benachayim, benamesim, once a week on Sunday to church, right? By us, erev avoyker vitzarayim, three times a day, no minyanim now, no chavrusis, no tzibur, This connection is like Eicha Yoshva Badod Haisa Kalmana. I mean, we are Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. Everybody heard the Kitty Genovese, 79 people passed by a young woman years ago. It was written up in the Times. Kitty Genovese, she was killed, and all the bystanders walked past. The homeless people, walk past them. They don't even without a second. By Klal Yisrael, imagine you were in Geulah as a Yid lying there. Everybody would stop. By Samay Del Damriyecha is goes to the core of who we are. Baroivam Hadras Mela. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. We're responsible. We get punished for another one's chayt. And we, even if we Makayim Mitzvah, we could do it again just to be mighty somebody. We're a team. Klal Yisrael is a team. How do we go 60 days without saying Shalom Aleichem? Tanachayid, you know, the Haile Rebbe Melech once said, Kol Yisrael Arevim, this is only a holy chassid can say this. Arevim Ilashin, he says, Vaharevna, sweet. He says, all Jews are sweet one to the other. We love, when we see each other, well, you know, reminds me of a story. My sister was single, she was a young girl, seminary age, she was in Italy. They made up to meet a friend, Ben Azmanim, two kids, they're gonna tour Rome and then fly. And she's in the airport. There's no cell phones. And it's this is years ago, right? This is before palms and iPhones and Blackberries. And her friend isn't there. There's a mix-up, and she's frantic. So she sees a plane from Israel had disembarked, and there was a Haimish Yid rushing to his plane. So she goes over to him. She says, "Excuse me, could you help me?" He says, "Yeah." She says, "I know you're going to catch a plane. My friend didn't show up. I don't know where to." He said, tell me the story. They went to a payphone. He called the girl's mother in America. He couldn't get through. The father's office. She says, you're going to miss your plane. He says, Ich soll lassen a Yiddish kind ein allein. I should let a Jewish, but you call Yisrael Arevim. At the end, he connected them. And then he rushed off. So as he was rushing off, she said, what's your name? He said, I'm Miller from Muncie. So she tried to find out who it was. She came back to America. Miller from Muncie, you can realize is that. She couldn't find the person Miller from Muncie. She thought she saw Leo Anavi. 15 years later, she said, she's by a chasana in L.A. And a guy gets up a batchin. In the middle, he says, so I'm Miller from Muncie. So she didn't recognize him. He had turned, I guess, gray. And she went over to him a little. She said, Miller from Muncie, were you ever in Italy? He said, no. She says, did you ever change planes in Italy? He looks at her, he says, Du bist the Yiddish kind? So I guess she was happy she was able to thank him, and she was like a little bit sad. She guessed she didn't have Gili Elio. But Kol Yisrael Arevim, our whole Ben Adam L'Chaveri is gechepit during this time, which goes to the essence of who we are. And what about our relationship with Kavi Yochel? Erev Avaykevitz, Anis Filasi L'Chashem Eisratz, in the Gemara says in Brachis, B'Navches, B'Shoshat Sibur Mispalin, it's Eisratzain, the Rambam in Ilchus Tfila, Hat Siburnish, Tfila Siburnish Mas Tamid, G'doyla Tfilasin Shal Rabam Lufnei Amakim, the Balatanya says that in his Igeres HaKadosh, writes, Shamati Mirabaisa, you heard Ishmi Piyish from the Magid and from the Baal Shem, that when there's a Chabura of Asara, and there's a Malach HaMekatrig, he's terrified to open his mouth. His aim of a fachad they fell us all of the Rosh and Ram of the Balatanya. Right? So when we now in these 8 weeks, our Bein Adam L'Chaveri is gechepet, and our Bein Adam L'Makam, our connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is just changed. It's like a marriage in a marriage. Your spouse says, I'm going to 6 months, I'm going someplace, or 2 months. What does that mean? We have a relationship. It reminds me, Nora Futton said, similar time, when between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Shadi, it says Mordechai came out. Vayitzak tzaka gedola umara. Mordechai screamed at tzaka gedola umara. So he said, "What type of tefillah is tzaka gedola umara? You don't have that in tefillah, even though it's one of Asara L'Shainus of tefillah tzaka." So he said, Rav Huttner said something beautiful. He said, "This was a time where the world was shaken. Why? The Neviim and Bayis." We're masakin hakeila god lagiber vanoira, the matbeira we have. Came the gullus, Kol Yisrael said, Ayeg vuraisa. We can't say hakeil hagadil. He's not gadol today. He's not giber today. He's not noira today. Until then, Sheshesek Noila Bayisheni came, and they said, no, Hein Hein Gvuroisav, Klal Yisrael's ability to survive in such a hostile situation, that's when your mettle was really tested. That's when we see the godless of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But for that 70 years, there was a void. There was no tefillah. So he said, so Mordechai said, davening kenich nisht, in this time of no tefillah, a beshrayin kenich ya, so vayitzak tzaka gedoy lumara. Something really sublime. It's beautiful. But Lamaisa, we're in a time, I can't go to shul. I can't say, amen yehei shmei rabba. What do we say? Godol kareyag zardinay an amen yehei shmei rabba. What am I supposed to do? What are all of us supposed to be doing? We can't say baruch hu. So I had a thought I want to share with you. Now the Gemara you learned probably in Daf Yomi and Bracha says, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua Chanin says, who was mesakin shmanesre, the tefillos, the gimel tefillos, erev avaykev etzarayim? Rabbi Yossi says, the obvious one mesakin them, Avram, Shachris, Yitzhak Mincha, Yaakov Meirev. And the other man, the Yama, says, no, keneged the karbanos tzibur. And it's kam of a kam anafkeminis lalacha, ter sameach brings, etc. But I want to say, I have a thought. You know, the tefillos that we say in shmanesre, right, that they were masakin, anshik nesak daila, they're all lashon rabim, every single one, right? What do you say? Slach lanu, hashivenu, rebanyenu, rafaenu, right? And many of them are just very remote, high thing. Taka b'shoifa gadol l'cheruseinu, hashiva shoifteinu, like bring back the shoiftim and the l'malshin. Klal Yisrael, like the simloich ata Hashem l'vadecha, tefillos on the big world picture. The tefillos of the avos were very different in two ways, right? And if we're davening neged that, it seems that there's another mahalach tefillah, right? Let's start with Yaakov is the easiest one. Yaakov, v'yifka b'makayim. Now here's a question. Yaakov just came from Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. Why wasn't he masakin b'tzibur in the yeshiva, right? Tefillas Meiriv. And what was his tefillah? It wasn't Hashiva Sheftenu or Malshinim, which he could have done. He had plenty of Malshinim, Esav, and whatchamacallit, and Yishmael. It's very personal tefillah. What did he daven? Rabbi Nisham, he was all alone. He said, Rabbi, Im yele kimi madi, ushmarani baderech hazeh, be with me, Lord. Shelter me, baderech hazeh, on this lonely path that I'm going. And you know what? Give me lechem lechel, ubeg it, just give me something to eat. Clothing, my parnasa is in date. V'shafti b'shalom el beis avi. I want to come back. I want to return alive to beis avi. Very personal tefillah. But not b'tzibur, but rabim. And what about the tefillah of Mincha? L'suach basada. He didn't go to a shul. And by the way, you're laughing at me? Well, what does the Gemara say in Yuma? Right? All the avos were yoshev b'yeshiva. Avram was Yeshiva, the Gemara in Daf Chavches in Yuma. Yitzchak was Yeshiva Yeshiva. Yaakov was Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. The Rambam famously in Ochsa Vayda says, Vayda Zara Parak Aleph says, where was this Yeshiva? He's Avram Avinu, was Hayim Mahalech, Vikaira, Umakabetz Am, Me'ir Le'ir, Me'eretz Le'eretz, Mamlocha La'mamacha, thousands of Adshin Eskap to Alpayim Ve'rivavais. Tens of thousands, v'im anche beis Avram, and they v'shasal b'lib ha'me'ikar agadol. So why does it say v'yashkim Avram ba'boiker by himself to be masakin shachras? What happened to tefillah b'tzibur? In lasuach pasada it says he was mispal for a shidduch. What happened to v'lamalshinim? To all these grandiose as tzemach David, teka b'shayfar. What happened to all that? So it seems there's the mahalach of tzibur, the mahalach of tefillah of tzibur. And what is that? You know, societal, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. But there's another tefillah, the personal cries of biyachid. And they weren't in the yeshivas. And they weren't in where they built their mizbechais, where they, in their, you know, they built these edifices, places of, where was it? It was a place that was meaningful to them. Vayifka b'makayim. Where he davened with Hashem once before, right? The Avos did have mizbechais. It says in, but the sheva mizbechais arachti. It says by Bilam kineged Avram's mizbechais abam before. They didn't daven there. So you know what I did? I had this machshava, and I went out to daven in the garden. I went and I davened my own tefillah. There's a different mahalach of tefillah. And you know, by the way, halachically, this way, the Mishnah says in Brachas, you probably learned it, that Rabbi Lezer holds, you're not mispal musaf, only when there's a tzibur being davening. And so Zakta Miri, why musaf? He says, because the other three tefillahs were neged the aves, and Rabbeinu Yoinah says that they were established for the yachid to cry to God. So even be yachid, you could do that. The musaf was only neged, the aves weren't mispal musaf, was only neged the musafim of the Beis HaMikdash, so there it has to be only betzibur. And there's other nafkim minis la halacha and machshava. But I'm saying, is it now possibly a time where we could reconnect one-on-one with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in our own language, in a place that's precious to us, that's meaningful to you? Is it time for once? You know, you go to shul, like daven in a minyan, and depending which minyan, they say, okay, if it's for seeking, it's for sure, you have to, okay, but even if it's the 7 o'clock, 7:20 is baruch hu, and the guy next to you is in a race to get there. You know, when you're with a group, there's no spontaneity. The teams have to work together. Imagine, you know, one guy's running in one direction. Yeah, that's not a teamwork. Right? Everybody here for once knows it's spontaneous, yourself, the way it's meaningful to you, your own path to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And it's very fitting that it's during the Sfira, because, you know, it says, Sfartam Lachem Mimachras HaShabbos. So Taisa says, Lachem, why is it different than Yovel, that Bezdin, Shemitah? Bezdin does the counting. So Taisa says, Sfira l'kol echad v'echad. Sfira means everybody. So even though Har Sinai was ki'ish echad b'lev echad, again, this tzibur, this dominating tzibur, but the path to God is Sfira l'kol echad v'echad. So much so that the Mishneh Berurah paskins famously, not like other paiskim, the Sharetzi, and he brings from, I forgot the name, it eludes me for a second, that there's no shemeya ka'ina by Sfira Saimer, right? From that good that he brings from one of the Rishayim, that there, he says, we paskin, there's no Shemeyaka, the Baal Tefillah, you have to tell your own Sfira. So maybe there's something special, rediscovering my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Not the way, not saying David HaMelech's Tefillah is, or this one's Tefillah is, or that one's, say my words to my Rabbeinu Shel Olam in my place. Could this be maybe a special time? Is there really Barcheni, like Yaakov said, what's the blessing here? Kim to Barcheni? By the way, I do want to say that at the end of this program, for those who speak Yiddish, because we don't usually allow any Yiddish, but something beautiful from Rabbi Shemaya Sternbach. At the end of this program, we're going to have a small ketta in Yiddish. I listened to it 3 times. I was mamish so moved. You have to listen to the almost to the end. A holy light was extinguished last week in the world. Somebody really holy. What does the Gemara say in Sanhedrin? Le pachus alma mitlasen v'shita tzadike, the mekabel apei shechina b'chol dara. Somebody, a yid who is mekabel apei shechina. Somebody special. If you speak Yiddish, there's something at the end of the 13-minute clip that's incredibly powerful and moving. Anybody was, it's Mo'iri Yerushalayim. That's, I left that for the end of the program. Before we go to the program, we're going to ask the riddle of the week. This is a coronavirus riddle. You know, the Gemara in Ben Soira says a story that somebody came to Rabbah, and he said that the Maradri, like the dictator, tyrant, duke, whatever it was, of his particular, said, listen, I'm going to kill you. And the only way I won't kill you is if you kill Yassel. You kill somebody else. So he came to Rabbah and he said, am I allowed to kill the other guy to save my own life? So Rabbah said to him, very famous, Machazis didamach didach sumach tvei. What makes you think the Dama Didach, your blood, is redder than the other guy's blood? So you, therefore, you can't. Nobody's blood is redder than the other's, and therefore you have to die. Which is why, by the way, an interesting thing, this would be even if it was Ramesha Feinstein. If he came to Ramesha and he said, listen, I'll kill you unless you kill Yassel, Ramesha is the same claw. Who says, how do you know your blood is redder? So here's the question. It could be that you're a Moshe Feinstein, but that person, Lafi the Kishreinus, that he was given, is doing a better job than you did for your Kishreinus. Impossible to gauge this. Therefore, you can't kill him. The Mishnah says in Hyrius, right? Let's say there's a boat. It's sinking, and you have to save somebody. We say Kayin comes before a Levi before a Yisrael. Talmud Chacham Kaidim La Maritz, even if he's a Mamza. We say one person's blood is redder than the other person's blood. So once we have a Mishnah that says that when it comes to Hatzalah, you have a choice who to save. You save the person whose blood is quote-unquote redder, the Kayin before the Levi, Ish before Isha, whoever it is, the more important person. So maybe when it comes to this Maisa Ratzicha, we already have a klal that yes, you say Chazis, Damach, Tidak, Sumach, Tvei, if it is better. So Ein Hanami say Talmud Chacham should be able to save his life at the expense of an Amoritz, because his blood, halachically, is indeed redder. That is the riddle of the week. And why do I say it's a coronavirus riddle? Because when it comes to if there would be a shortage of medication, shortage of ventilators, etc., we discussed, would the mission in Hyrius become efficacious? Would it become applicable? So it is indeed a riddle, and we will, of course, announce the winner at the end of the show.
Joining us from Lakewood is Harav Nechemia Gottlieb. He's the founder of TAG International, that's the Technology Awareness Group. They have 45 offices around the world, 400 volunteers. Rav Nechemia is originally from Eretz Yisrael. He was sent to America, the shlichus of Rav Steinman. And afterwards, Rav Matisyo Solomon, L'Havdol Ben Achayim Ben Achayim, should have Rav Shalema, asked him to form a digital group to address this issue in our community. He was the architect of the City Field, Asifa, many others. Welcome, Rav Nechemia.
Yes, hello, Rav David. A pleasure being on.
Rav Nechemia, interestingly, says you were the City Field, you were the architect of the Asif. I actually wrote a kuntris for the Asifa called Internet Bahalacha. And we sold, distributed close to 20,000 of them, which was a good thing. The bad thing is I was left with around 1,500, which are stuck in my garage, which my wife keeps asking me, what do I want to do with them? If anybody
wants
one.
People are looking into a lot of interesting things during this corona. They're locked up, so maybe now's the opportunity to get rid of them.
If anybody wants one, if they send us an email, we'll send it to you gratis. So, Reb Nechemia, tell us about the Rosh Yeshivas in Lakewood came out with a letter saying the Moistis should not do Zoom shiurim, but do telephonic shiurim, and they want to keep technology out of the hands of the children. I imagine that you're knowledgeable about it and it's part of you. Can you give us a little bit of your thoughts on it?
Sure. So we've picked a tough topic, a topic on which I'm sure emotions run high on both sides of the issue. I want to start off by saying that this hayra'ah was a hayra'ah for Lakewood and for Maizdis, which follow the lead of Lakewood, even if they live in different communities, but they would like to see themselves at least that they're servicing some part of their community, which is a Lakewood-type segment of the community, or they are trying to be mashpia on all the parents, that type of, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, yeshivisha hashkafa. And therefore, I think if there are people who are scratching their heads and saying to themselves, like, one second, like, my school gives kids to do homework online, or everybody in our community's kids are playing Fortnite, so just we're not supposed to be using Zoom for school or whatever. If that's what you're saying, then probably you're right, and probably you should have your kids be learning on Zoom. And I think that that might put to rest a lot of the questions that people have. I think that there are also a tremendous amount of people who don't have internet in maybe even in their homes, or definitely don't let their kids go online, or only would let their kids go online occasionally with maximum supervision. And they are also scratching their heads and saying, okay, but you have kids, they're going butthole, they're not learning, everybody's climbing the walls. I mean, my goodness grief, if there's ever a shas etchak, it's right here. So to go and just like, we're talking about das Torah, so I don't want to say that somebody would say this, but just to say to Vishnu, it's kappen vant and say, we don't use the internet. I mean, now's the time. And of course, you know, you can explain to everybody. Everybody knows your principles. Everybody knows what you stand for. You can explain to everybody. You can tell them that it's a shas hadchak. So what's the problem? And just to add on to this, the people who are marketing these devices are telling us A, that they are 100% secure. So it's not like there's a chashash that people are going to get into something else. And B, that it's not internet. Come on. This is it's an app called Zoom. The tablet is, to quote one of the people who was selling it, who said to me in a closed meeting with some of the Gedalim, come on, this is a plastic hamburger. What do you want? The kid doesn't see anything in it. It's not like he feels like he's using the internet. So it seemed to a lot of people some kind of a mindless principle applying very lofty ideals in a place where they don't belong to be applied. So I think those are in a large part the people that we're addressing, that they should understand the policy that was handed down to them. And I would hope also that those people who come from different communities who it doesn't apply to, and I think in general maybe they don't understand the position of the Rosh Hashiva so well, I would hope they would be able to walk away from this little conversation saying, you know what, they have a point. You know, they have something, they have their viewpoint, and they have a point, and it's internally consistent. It's not my mahalach, but their mahalach also makes sense.
Let me interrupt, Rabbi Gottlieb, what you said about communities where kids are playing Fortnite. I'm not a maven of Fortnite, but I understand it's an internet game. So you're saying, of course, they should use Zoom. In other words, you're taking a stand similar to, let's say, you know, just a shtal suah, hira, that kolam alamid bitay tayriki malamde tiflas. So great paiskim from the prior generation, the Lutzke Rav, said, you know, when girls were learning nothing, like they were knitting, so you say kolam alamid bitay tayriki malamde tiflas. He says, today they're going to school, mathematics, science, biology, kfir, they're going to learn abatayrinisht. He said, that's absurd, right? So, of course, he says, if your kid's getting educated, of course they have to learn Torah. So you're saying, if you're already playing this, you should certainly 100% l'chatchila be using Zoom. Now we're talking about
that's
kids
correct.
Who are brought up al Kedusha v'al Torah, where they were never on the internet, they don't know how to use a computer, and we're talking about should we introduce, sanitized tablets, right, for them, so that they should be able to learn better. You're just stelling the debate down in a very clear, I think. That is the only area that the question is.
Right. And I want to say that just to make it clear, unfortunately or fortunately, we're not split into two clear camps. There are many, many what we will call, for the sake of this discussion, the out-of-town schools. Even those, the yeshivasha out-of-town schools, they have a mixed clientele. So that's why I said that if the school is definitely all basically of the clientele, which is using the internet or on Fortnite, which is a cute way of saying it, or if the school doesn't stand for trying to promote the Taras HaKadosh ideals, then I think it's a no-brainer that it should be using Zoom.
And I want to add on, Rabbi Gottlieb.
Let me just finish
for a moment.
In the schools where we have that mixed clientele and at least the official hashkafa of the school, whether all the parents have bought into it or not, but the official hashkafa that they're trying to give over is that Taras HaKadosh hashkafa, they're also... It's more debatable, but they're also that's something that Rosh Hashiva has felt that we should go to the highest common denominator rather than the lowest common denominator.
So before we get into that debate, I want to just mention one other thing. Chabad is an avid user of technology, but certainly one segment of Chabad, which is the shluchim, who are mamish shluchid rachmana, shluchid idan ushluchid rachmana, who somebody sitting in Timbuktu with three. You know, trying to be mechanech their kid, and the shiur is given worldwide by Zoom. So, you know, they use it because it's mamish begerda lekadarka achrina. Right? They don't have any other way. So, but just saying, absent those two cases, now let's go to I'm a Lakewood parent. I'm climbing the walls. My kids are home now, ready for 2 months. And by the way, Rabbi Gottlieb, I'm going to venture to say it could be till the end of the year. And I don't mean the school year, I mean the year. Could be this way for another. Eight or 9 months, right? We don't know until a vaccine or good testing or a cure comes out. I mean, because I don't think, you know, people say, oh, by November, it's for sure going to open. By July, for sure. And my only shyle on this is July a better time to die than in April?
Well
right?
said, yeah.
So now some parent says, look, my kid's going to be home now for 10 months, and I want to get him one of these sort of these dumb tablets. They're sanitized dumb tablets. And Rosh Hashiva's position is no. And so explain that position. Like, what is he? It's basically a picture phone. He can't do anything. Why not?
Okay. So I want to take a step back first and just frame this debate a little bit. A lot of the people who were promoting these devices, they were promoting it because of Bittul Torah. And they said, look, the kids are at home. They're not learning Torah. It's Bittul Tinuk Shabbos Rabban and so on and so forth. Well, yeah, of course, once they have it, they can learn Limudei Chol. But this is the taina which they came to the Rosh Hashivas with. And I have a klal, I have a rule, that when you have people who are Maisa Nefesh for Torah, Yemen Velayla, and that's what they stand for, and then you have on the other side, again, I don't want to make a generality, but what we'll call, for the sake of convenience, Balabatim, people who are Kaveyitim La Torah, but they have not given away their life. And all of a sudden, it is the Balabatim who are Chas on Bittul Torah, and the Rosh Hashiva seem to think that Torah is out the window. So I have a cloud that something's askew just at the get-go. There's something wrong over here. So that's just to put the debate in the right light. I think if anybody thinks that the Rosh Hashivas are not plugged into Talmud Torah or not plugged into the needs of children, remember, the Rosh Hashivas and Gedolei Yisrael in general spend hours every day counseling people and talking to them and giving advice to the rabbeim. They're all on multiple vadachinuchs. They're no strangers. They're no strangers to this topic. And I can tell you from speaking to them and knowing how many people spoke to them, the amount of thought that they put into this dwarfs the amount of thought that your average person who has a rock solid opinion put into it. And by the way, this was not something which was a no-brainer for them. This was something which they put a lot of chakira and drisha into. And they thought about it, and they asked opinions. They had another meeting, and another meeting, and another meeting. And the tzad, the Bittul Torah, and just climbing the walls and sanity outweighs everything else, was a very serious tzad.
What is it? Tell us the secret. Now, what's the position? Explain it.
So here's the answer. The answer is this: that internet. I want to use a mashal. Everybody knows that we saw Salanter, the famous Maisa, when he was in Vilna, and it was Yom Kippur, and they had the Magefa going on. So he went ahead and he made Kiddush and Shul, and he went ahead and he ate. Now nobody was afraid that there was going to become a pirtza in Klal Yisrael that people eat on Yom Kippur. Why? Because that was the reason why he had to make Kiddush. Because every person who was eating was choking and gagging on his food and feeling terrible that he had to eat on Yom Kippur. But with internet, it's not like that. In the most yeshivish places, the best home, the best kids, internet rules the world. Internet is cool. Internet is geschmack. Internet is powerful. Internet is what everybody's doing. And unfortunately, we have not raised a dar of children or a dar of parents, except for a few people who are zeicha to sit in the Dal Lama Shal Halacha, and they were never toyim tam internet. But everybody else, we're all thrilled with the internet. It's very powerful. It's very useful. It's very hard not to view it in a positive light with all of its negatives. And the heart of the strategy of Gedolei Yisrael to keep Klal Yisrael safe from the pitfalls of the internet is to try to inculcate in us that feeling that internet is a massive b'dieved. It's something which, when you look at it in its totality, it doesn't really pass for us to be using it. We have to use it, no question. I myself use internet on a daily basis. I'm running a massive organization. I also have a business which I run for my parnasa. We use internet, and I understand the power and the necessity. And I also understand from personal experience the allure of the internet and how hard it is to view something so useful with suspicion and keep up our guard against all the pitfalls that are there. We don't have the filter. We don't have the technological answer to making the internet a freebie, to making it something which is totally safe. We have certain safeguards which are put into the place, but in the end, it's about us. And it's just like a person, the most apt mashal that comes to mind is like our relationship with food. In the end, if you are not conscious of your food intake and you don't have the right relationship with food, you can diet from today till tomorrow. But if you don't change your mind about eating and you don't recognize that eating is something we do to stay healthy, and that is what I'm doing, and I'm not eating for emotional reasons, and I'm not eating, you know, for tithing, I'm not reading for social reasons, then you're never going to lose weight. So this is the heart of their strategy. There is no question that taking an internet device, kashered, not kashered, which, by the way, many of these kids are chalishing their hands to get their hands on this device and putting it in the hands of kids for months at a time, there's no question that this is firing their imagination And it's showing them that b'shas hadchak, whatever we consider a shas hadchak, when it's important to us, all of a sudden we can use the internet. Yeah, you can split hairs and say it's not internet, it is internet, it's filtered, it's not filtered, even if that's true. But even if people say b'derech leitzanus, you say, you see, the Rashivas got with the program when it's their thing. Yeah, for Torah, for me, it's something else. Even if people say that b'derech leitzanus, but leitzanus achas derech mei atichochas. The bottom line is that what we would be doing on multiple levels. It's true for the parents as well, and for the children on multiple levels. Basically, the message that we would be giving to people and the experience that we would be giving to people is that in a pinch, internet is okay, and once people are toyim that tom, it's very, very hard. It's very, very hard to take that away or to get it out of their mind. To go back to the plastic hamburger analogy that I said earlier, many of the kids who are sitting with that tablet, you know what they're thinking when they're supposed to be listening to their Rebbe? They're thinking, oh, shucks. Why doesn't it have games on it? Why can't I do something? They're going to try. They're not going to be successful. They're going to go out and get themselves a tablet. There's no question about it. What I told that yid, who meant well, by the way, that it's not a plastic hamburger. It's a plastic cigarette. And if a kid sits with a plastic cigarette in his mouth for enough time, he's going to go and get himself a Marlboro because he has to taste the real thing. So this was the overwhelming sentiment here. That in the final analysis, everything we have worked, and by the way, only very partially successfully, we're not so successful at giving this message to people. We're working on it, and we do educational programs in TAG and so on and so forth, but it's an uphill battle, and we're hoping that this next door, which comes prepared into adulthood, I mean, basically, when we talk about people at our age, we fell into the digital world. It crept up on us little by little. We don't have to go through the history here, but you remember when a computer had a floppy disk, when you couldn't save multiple versions of a Word doc because there was not enough memory. Little by little, it crept up on us. We didn't have time to collect our thoughts. We didn't make a conscious decision when we got married. You do want internet in the house. You don't want. It wasn't discussed in Shidduchim. We are hoping and striving to raise a dar, which makes much wiser decisions about internet. And the feeling was that this is going to go and throw all of that out of the windows.
Crystal, is this letter that they said Meister shouldn't use Zoom for Shurim, is it for adults too or only for children?
No, it's only for children. There's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, Zoom is one of the most kosher applications.
So, let me ask you a question. This is the pushback, okay? You would agree. By the way, I am a strong believer. I'm well aware of the dangers of the internet. In fact, before this interview, I Googled 30% of all internet usage. And when you consider that businesses could have 1,000 people online at the time doing work, imagine what 30% is. 30% of all usage is for pornography. Just a staggering statistic, right? So I'm well aware of, we had a mechanech on from Eretz Yisrael a year and a half ago that I was almost shot but he said on the line, he said 80% of the Bachrim he deals with have viewed pornography. A well-known mechanech in Eretz Yisrael, right? So I'm very aware with it. But here's the question. You know, we have parents that they say, I'm not going to send my kid to playgroup because they're going to get a cold, right? So they keep them sheltered in a bubble. And then the kid goes to first grade and the kid is sick the entire year. And the other kid went to playgroup when he was 2, he got a sneeze. And by the time he was in first grade, at 5 or 6, he had some inoculation, right? You would agree with me. You, TAG, uses the internet every day, right? You said, right? Anybody who's in business, if you can't use the internet, you might as well drive an Uber. And even on Uber, you have to get your data through the internet over an iPhone or a Samsung, right? So the internet is going to be as much a part of our lives as electricity or oxygen. There's two ways to, if we want to get anywhere in life, unless you're staying in a yeshiva your life, mamish or klei kodesh, or you're a garbage man, or you're doing some blue collar, it's the oxygen, it's the electricity that the world runs on. So we have two mahalchim. Our kids could be sheltered totally until they're picked a date when they go to work. Put in your number, and then like boom, it's like to see the shigai who finds out that if he goes to the mikvah one day, he's not going to die. And so he says, if I can't to go to the mikvah, I didn't die, mistam if I'm a chal Shabbos, I'm also not going to die. There's no inoculation, there's no training. The other way is, you know, here's a tablet, Yasala, and by the way, the internet is dangerous. It's like a gun. It's like a car. Abba drives a car, but if you get into the car, you'll kill yourself. and start training kids from when they're 3 and they're 4. And the internet is like, it's like a magazine. Chas v'shalom, somebody could buy the wrong magazine or other. And this is the opportunity to be mechanech them rather than springing the internet on all these kids when they're 22 and suddenly, you know, a 24, whatever the age is, and suddenly they discovered, oh my God, imagine what I could do with this internet. 2 keystrokes where I am. Aren't we losing the power of inoculation, the power of education? And could it be almost counterproductive to your goal?
Okay, so that's a great question. Are we losing an opportunity to give our kids a... Are we... let's phrase it like this.
Alcohol.
Are we anti-vaxxers?
Like alcohol.
Are we anti-vaxxers when it comes to the internet?
Or alcohol. So. How many... Until recently, Reb Nachem, until recently, there was very few Jewish alcoholics because Jews knew it was for Kiddush, right? It was for a l'chaim right. Between the fish and the thing. And then by the you have the Umay Sa'olam. What is it? It's a scotch. It's to get drunk with your friends. We had a chinuch in this. We have a chinuch in Ishus, we have a chinuch in Derech Eretz, we have a chinuch in Kibadav, we have a chinuch in Beinoy Lebeina. So here's the opportunity from young Vaizan. The internet is it's like a car. It's a powerful, dangerous tool. And let us tell you some stories, the horror stories, but on the other hand, the good stories. So therefore, with this, and therefore, when it comes upon you, don't, you know, when you get that computer, it's like, oh my God, I was let out of jail.
Right. So, Rav David, let me tell you, first of all, this is a...
I don't have an answer from the family. I don't have an answer. I'm telling the Shiloh, you know?
I hear you loud and clear, and I hope I do. And I want to tell you, in truth, the answer is long, and it's intricate, and it deserves a different conversation. I'm going to give a few pointers, but I want to tell you and our listeners that this is not a full treatment of the topic. It's a very complex topic. But I just want to give a few pointers to think about. Let's think about one of the examples that you gave. How about alcohol? Should we inoculate children by giving them to drink l'chaim when they're 12? How about other things? I want to ask you a different question. How about drugs? Does anybody believe that that's a good way to go about? I mean, my gosh, one day the kid is going to be 14 or 15, he's going to go to high school, and somebody's going to try pushing on him.
We never use drugs. It's a bad comparison.
No, I'm saying for Umas Olam, for people you know who could take a joint. You know, they're not averse to that. How about other things? The answer is number one that for the most liberal people in the world, anything which you are not willing to risk that your child should make the wrong decision, you shelter your child. Across the board, that's the way everybody does it. We don't introduce our children to things which we consider that if they make the wrong decision, it's a tragedy. We introduce them to things which, okay. And the difference between the people who believe in introducing and who don't is whether if your child ends up in the wrong place, is that a tragedy or it's not a tragedy? And they don't believe it's a tragedy. So that's just to put the things in perspective.
I think that we don't inoculate to something that should never be used. So we don't have to inoculate for guns. He has a safe gun. Because we're never going to have guns in our house for 98% of, you know, from a people. We're never going to have drugs. We're never going to have. It's just a no. There's no reason to know how to use drugs. But food, yes, there should be inoculate. You shouldn't be overeating because obesity is one of the leading causes of death. Alcohol, we have a little by Kiddush, we make a l'chaim. But your Abba and we don't drink big. We don't have a double boiler of Johnny Walker. So we inoculate the things that the kids are going to have to deal with in life, and we teach them how to deal with it. Something that the answer is just no. There's no inoculation. Internet, we agree at some point they are going to use it. So where's the training and how to use it? It should be now from childhood.
You mentioned before other things. I think also with alcohol, that's also a sliding scale at what age people are introduced to it or not introduced to it. The bottom line is that you introduce a person at an age when you feel that they're old enough and wise enough and mature enough to understand how to make the right decisions. That does not include 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old when it comes to the internet. And guess what? It doesn't include 45, 50, 60, and 70-year-olds when it comes to the internet either. None of us. These other things are things which a normative adult controls himself and he makes the right decisions. Internet is an area where nobody, I risk myself saying that statement, definitely people who are young enough to really enjoy the internet, nobody controls themselves. We're all obese when it comes to using the internet. We are not principled, and introducing them at a young age when they're immature and they're more likely to see the thrill and to become to use loosely the word addicted, than to understand how to use it wisely is not a wise policy. By the way, we don't have to teach people how to use the internet responsibly. It's a no brainer. It's not so hard to know how to do it. We have to instill in people a respect for the power and the lethality, so to speak, of the internet, which goes back to your car analogy. We don't need to put kids on a fake car when they're 12 years old and do something. We need to wait till they're 18 to put them behind the wheel when they can understand what it means that if you run a stop sign, you might die. And then, yes, then we have to do it with training. And here, I want to thank you for bringing up this point. I feel that as a tzibur, there is an enormous omission, which, halavai, Hashem should give us yata d'shmaya, maybe to do something about it, that yes, people are released from yeshiva, or girls are released from Beis Yaakov's without the proper training. And you're 100% right. Definitely, if you go with a mahalach, which says that we're not going to introduce people to their older, then you have a chiyuv as a community to provide the right training. And I do envision that 3 months before a young man leaves Koyler or a Bacha leaves yeshiva, whatever it is, whatever stage in life there is, there should be shiurim and classes and warnings and rabbanim or psychologists or whoever it is to speak to people, to give people techniques. And there are techniques. So that should be done. But it doesn't include empowering a 7 or 8 year old free access.
So Rabbi Nechemia, let me push back. Let me push back at that, okay? I think that we don't teach a kid when they're 8 how to drive safely, because in all likelihood, he's not going to get into a car till he's 17 or 18 or 16, right? Whatever it is, right? Which state, whatever, right? We don't, you know, it's just unlikely. Same thing with guns, etc. But I don't care where you live, even in Lakewood or Williamsburg or Borough Park, your kid is going to have some friend who has a phone or a computer or a tablet. And I'm just wondering whether we take a kid who's 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, these are the age when puberty starts, and he's in his friend's house, and his friend has a computer or a tablet, and this kid says, hey, let me try it. And I think that there's no chinuch for that kid what to do. He doesn't know that if he presses the wrong button. Wait, whereas, what I'm just, you see, would you agree, Reb Nechemia, that the internet is arguably the single biggest challenge to our generation for Kedusha, right? Would you agree with that? It's the biggest challenge. And you know what? Nobody speaks about it. There's no chinuch. There's no mahalach. There's no course book. It's like the biggest challenge in our generation, nothing. And I'm just wondering, the ghetto walls have fallen down. Most yeshivas, it's not spoken about. And the ghetto walls have fallen down. We don't speak about evolution. We don't speak about kfira. It's no-go. And what happens? A kid walks into it, and boom, he has suddenly a shaylin. Everything. Wouldn't it be great if starting from Jung Weizen, we taught the internet is a gun. It's a this, it's a that. It has to be done. It's like chametz on Pesach. These are the steps. Because he's going to see it in his... Would you agree that even in Lakewood, he's going to see it in a friend's house?
So, David, now we're on a strong point of agreement, and I want to tell you a few things. First of all, just to set the record straight, TAG has an educational program called Hineni. It's a 2 to 3 year program with a lesson every week for high school girls and seminary girls, which is being pursued in over 80 schools around the world. Incredibly rich, and we have a hotline, and we have a publication with a daily civic email. We have something called Hineni High Points. We have contests. It's incredible. We have an Asifa, which brings under one roof girls from Vizhnitz and from Lakewood and from Scranton and L.A. So there is Baruch Hashem. And I'm telling you right now, and I'm making an appeal over the airwaves, we have ideas for a program for boys. We have a skamas of top Rosh Yeshivas in Lakewood, the firmest yeshivas to bring it in. It's just a question of funding to get this thing to go. The idea is there. The concept is there. A few $1,000 and we could have a program up and running. Now, to second what you're saying, I want to tell you what Rav Matisyahu said. Rav Matisyahu told me clearly that from a very young age, he said definitely in Lakewood, in the most yeshivish of schools, 7 or 8 years old, we have to be mechanech children about internet. And you are 100% right in identifying this as a weak point that we're not. So that thing, the chinuch, explaining, talking on their level, what they can understand and what they can handle on their level, explaining to them, you're 100% right, and there is a lack. There's a lack of pursuing that in our community. But I would venture to say that when we talk about preparing people for adulthood, that's one thing. When we talk about preparing teenagers for challenges, I would venture to say that kids who grow up in houses with internet are more likely as a teenager to stumble across inappropriate things than the kid who grew up in the sheltered environment. So that's there. I just want to talk about the analogy to a car, which you brought out, which I think, you know, it was introduced maybe 20 years ago by Rav Matisyahu. I think he was probably the first one to say it at a at an Aguda convention. And he said, well, we have, you know, he said in his British English, a motor car. So if you have a motor car and everybody understands that it needs seatbelts, that was in a that was in an age when people didn't even understand that you needed filters even for the, for your children. And he said, you know, you need seatbelts and stop signs and so on and so forth. And it was a very apt example. But I think people who are still applying that are a little bit in a time warp because the internet is not like a car, because nobody gets into a car and has a taiva to drive into a tree. We try our best to be safe. So if we have safeguards like seatbelts, we're going to do a good job. But when we're online, we all want to drive into a tree. So that's something that we have to take into account, and therefore we have to use that, I think we have to use that muscle cautiously.
Okay, this was really fascinating. Let me ask you one question. By the Internet of Sifa, Rabbi Waxman said that a house that has internet is, whoever has internet is Ein Loi Chelek Le'olam Haba. I'm just curious, could you, would you ascribe to that? Was it Kishgaga Hayaitse Mipia? How would you describe it? What's your opinion on it?
Well, first of all, I just as a matter of principle, I think if Rabbi Waxman said something, you should ask him what he said or what he meant. I don't remember that being said at all. I don't think it was a house with internet. The internet Asifa was specifically, I can tell you from the back end of the planning, was to discuss unfiltered internet.
Yeah, he said it from Rav Vazna. He said a psak from Rav Vazna. He said he has a psak from Rav Vazna that whoever has internet is ein lo chelek le'olam haba. And I remember listening to it and thinking, my goodness.
I just want to tell you like this. I don't, you know, of course, I don't argue with anything that Gdalim say, and my opinions are not important. I will just tell you that every single Gadol in America, every single Gadol in America, and indeed in Eretz Yisrael, aside from Rav Ozner, gives on a regular basis, gives people a heter to have internet in their homes. The most Hasidish Shemaisis in the world do have, maybe excepting for Skver, all have a policy about how and when somebody can have internet in their home. So if that statement seems shocking, maybe it is. I'm just saying, definitely tag. We're here facilitating for most of Klai Yisrael to have internet in their home. So definitely something which I would say that the consensus of Gedolei Yisrael is that in the right, under the right circumstances, it is something which can be acceptable.
Well, Reb Nechemia, it's an honor to have you on. And I think that I speak for myself. I think that internet is the single largest challenge that Klai Yisrael has. Saifa Kedusha, Saifa Deis, Shalom Bayis, etc. And somebody who's made dedicated their life towards being mechanech people on how to use the internet, when to use the internet, and the shmiris and the filters, I think that you for sure have a front seat, mizrach and olam haba. That's whatever my opinion is worth.
Thank you very much. I will take that as a bracha, and it was an honor being on. Hatzlacha Rabba.
Thank you, Kalta. Joining us is the Chabad Shliach of Minneapolis, the world-famous speaker of Manus Friedman. I believe he's the most viewed rabbi on YouTube. Welcome, Reb Manus.
Shalom, shalom aleichem.
So, Reb Manus, the Lakewood recently came out with a letter from the Rabbanim where they discouraged the use of Zoom in Chinuch. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the reason is they said, look, the kids, most of the children are, you know, brought, that they try to bring them up, you know, b'kedusha, b'tahara. The internet is a very dangerous place. And they, you know, mayasa ben shalayechta, once he's introduced. So they said it's not worth the added value of seeing the Rebbe and seeing the class on Zoom to the dangers of bringing internet into the house, teaching the children how to use the computer, because today they're using the computer for one thing, and then a minute, you know, when you're not watching, suddenly, you know, you've opened up Pandora's box and chas v'shalom. So I understand that Chabad has a different opinion, and if you could just tell us about that briefly.
I think the opinion is that we know that kol hadrochem b'cheska sakona. That's life. That's the world. Olam hazeh is a mokim sakona. That's the given. So what are we supposed to do about that? It doesn't say any place that you should hide from the sakona. It's telling us how to fix the world, not to protect ourselves from it.
Well, so respectfully, Rabbi Friedman, the Gemara does talk about if somebody's going to go down a derech that he knows over there that there's Noshim Bekvus, B'shas HaKvisa, right? The Gemara says he's not allowed to go that derech. And the only way he's allowed to go that derech, and it's Kapaskin Shulchan Aruch, is if he's an Oinus and there's no other way for him to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? So, for example, based on that, Ramesha famously writes, he says, if somebody has to go on the bus to go to work, even if he's afraid that he'll bump into women, etc., he says he should avoid it as much as he can, but at the end of the day, you have no choice. But clearly, we do have the concept, yes, Kol Hadrachim B'Cheska Sakana, but when you don't have to, when you don't need that Sakana, halachically, and common sense, you should certainly avoid it. So the argument here would be is, you don't need this in your house. You don't have to teach your children until they're at a later age how to use a computer, how to be on the internet. So why enter into a sakana when there is another derech to do, to go? Even if the other derech is longer. Shalom says, even if the other derech is longer, you go to the other derech.
Of course. Of course. So you mentioned two things. If you are an anus, if you have no choice, or it's unavoidable. Those are the realities, right? To most people, the internet and its temptations are unavoidable. If you don't have a computer in your house, your kids have a friend who has a computer, and so on and so forth. So the question is it avoidable? If it is, ashrei chelkam, absolutely. If you can do without it, you have a special bracha. But how avoidable really is it? So instead of being on the defensive, Chabad goes on the offensive. We're going to use this for Kedusha, and as far as all my children are aware, they know that the internet is for learning, for teaching, for reaching out. Yes, there is a sakana too, but that's not what's in their eyes. The internet is a base medrash. I guess I have a beautiful little story. There was a guy, Lubavitcher spokesman. He lives here in Crown Heights. And in the years when the Rebbe was giving out dollars on Sundays, you know, he would take his children, his grandchildren, every Sunday they would go get a dollar from the Rebbe. Anyway, he was sitting at a Sheva Brachas with his Einikel on his lap, a two-year-old, and a schnorrer came over and asked for an adava. So he takes out a dollar to give to the man, and the baby points at the dollar and says, Rebbe. To the child, a dollar bill meant Rebbe. So it's all in the perspective. What do you see in the world? You can look anywhere and find a sakana, or you can look anywhere and find an opportunity for Avedas Hashem.
So, Ramatis, you know, I just Googled it. One in every three searches on the internet is used for pornography. 30% of the internet's usage is pornography. So, you know, is there an age? Like, do you put, like, 10-year-old boys, 13? Is there any age, like, that you start? Like you say, like, there's a certain area when you say, at this point, the person could practice judgment? Or is it from really at all ages?
No, you have to be, you know, eternal vigilance. Of course, you have to be on top of it, like with anything else. You send your kid off to camp, you have to wonder and worry and protect them.
But Ramanas, would you keep guns at home? A lot of people won't say. They say, look, as much as I lock it up, God forbid a kid gets a hand on the gun. Most accidents happen to the children of gun owners. Fact, right? I mean, isn't it like sort of saying, you know, guns are good to protect yourself. We all believe in the Second Amendment rights, etc. But it's just too dangerous to keep a loaded gun at home. And I think that they're saying it's like keeping a loaded gun at home.
Well, there's a real difference because nobody really needs a gun. And it's certainly not inevitable that your kid is going to find a gun somewhere. So it's really very different. If it were so easy, if it were that easy, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. The internet is almost unavoidable, except for the really exceptional few. It's unavoidable. So it's like wine. Many people abuse wine and get drunk on it. Jews hardly ever get drunk on wine because we know that that's for Kiddush. if you're going to get drunk, you have to buy some expensive some expensive scotch or something. So it depends on, you know, you can make from it what you want. You can turn it into a davisha begdusha, or you can use it to destroy yourself.
We had a mechanech from Eretz Yisrael who said that roiv of the bachrim, that he's a mashkiach, he said roiv of the bachrim have watched porn. He said it's a majority, right, and it's not 51%. I don't think roiv bachrim get drunk. So I think that the ease of it, I mean, you know, it's really dangerous. I mean, that's what they're, and I understand you saying it's inevitable. Let me ask you, let me sort of give it the following twist. You know, there's a Torah, it says, you know, when the Klal Yisrael left the Mitzrayim, right, so the Korban Pesach has all kinds of, has to be eaten only l'menuyav, right? Ishal Mishpachta, only to the menuyav. It has to be eaten in an exact way. Everything. Sukkis, which is the last of the Mayadim, Kol Yisrael Ruyim Leishev B'Sukkah Echad. Any type of sukkah is mutter. Daifan akuma, good asik, you know, parutz murbala, oimed, shtayim, vafilu tefach. So Chassidim say, you know, in the Sifrei Machshava, they say when Klal Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim, which were in the Yemei Sfira now, they were young, right? Yemeinu Rayach, Chachloch Yemeinu Rayach. A child, you have to be very careful what you expose him to. So it had to be only Lemenuyev, it had to be Tzli, it had to be this, Chametz B'mashehu. Sukkis is already the end of the journey. You're mature, it's after Kabbalah Satorah, it's after Shavuos, etc. Then already it could be, you know, Kol Yisrael Re'elesha B'sukkah Echad. So I think both Mahalchim are true, but it depends where we are, in what we're in the iteration, in the process we are. So would it make sense when they're saying, look, we don't want our kids on the internet? If a guy goes to work, and like you say, it's inevitable, so there ain't a chanami over there. But why do you want to show your 13, your 14, your 11 kid, where one curious a kid in two curious strokes is in Shel Tachtis? That's the other side of the argument.
And it's a good argument, and it's something to really worry about. But the balance of Teva Ra in everything, we're telling children that internet is pure Ra. And it's not true. And eventually they're going to find that out and they're going to use that argument. No, it's good for this and it's good for that and you need it for business and we're going to be caught, you know, with a stir. So right from the start, we have to tell children the emes. There's Ra and the Ra is terrible, but there is Tev and the Tev is fantastic. And Meruba Mida Teva. The good outweighs the bad. That way you've protected your child internally, not by having filters on the thing, which you should have, but internally the child is protected because you've taught him right from wrong. There is a right. It's not all wrong. Because it's going to turn out, you know, we have to tell children that non-kosher candies taste really good. You have to tell them that. It tastes good, but that pleasure you're not allowed to have. But if you don't tell them it tastes good, what happens when they find out that it does? So you can't lie to children. You got to tell the emes. And the emes is not all black and dark. The emes is that there's teiv ra. Look for the teiv, be devoted to the teiv, and the ra won't get to you. It's a much healthier, safer, and truer path. So yeah. Being afraid of the ra doesn't really make it go away. It gives it more koyach.
Let me ask you a Chabad question. The Rebbe was one of the first people, Chaim Lavracha, the Chatzalik Lavracha, was one of the first people to use the radio for our Batzis HaTorah. Right?
Rabbi Teitz.
Yeah. But famously, he had the Maimorim on the radio, etc. Right in 1960, WEVD, right? The Rebbe's class in Tanya, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rebbe was very supportive. So here's my question: is it possible Chabad's opinion change? Why do I say? The French Revolution in 1789 changed the restrictions on the world, the Great Emancipation, and for the world in general, and for Jews in particular, that they were now allowed to go to school, they were allowed to get educated, they were allowed to own land, they were allowed to be tradesmen, etc. And Napoleon, following that, was very pro-emancipating the Jews. And when he attacked Russia, the Tsar was a notorious anti-Semite. Napoleon seemed to be an Oy of Yisrael, and on numerous occasions, the Balatanya famously came out against Napoleon and pro the Tsar. And he said, even though Begashmius, there's no suffix that the Napoleon would be better for Klal Yisrael, but Beruchnius, with his eye in, saw hundreds of years into the future, what will the emancipation do? And at the time of the pre-emancipation, probably 90% of Yiddishkeit was from. At the end of Haskalah, it ended up where today it's 90% fried. It inverted itself. So Be'ein HaPekicha, he said that he's more worried about the Ruchnius than the Gashmius, and better that they should live in impression without emancipation and Bleibin Yirei Shemayim and Erlach Eden than have all this, the new waves, education, removing the veils of the world, our eyesight, opening up our vision, etc. That's the biggest sakana. Today, it seems, we've inverted, where Chabad embraces technology, they embrace the internet, they embrace shiurim online, like you say, they embrace, they're all over the world, the shluchim. Has it changed? Has the sheet of the Balatanya changed over time?
That's a very good question. But Bekitzer, if I can bring this out, Napoleon's evil was the worship of the human being. That the human being is the highest, and then should be free to do whatever he wants. It's all about the greatness of the human being, and that is pure evil, and it's Sheker also. What we're seeing today is the exact opposite. The Rebbe's endorsement of technology is because Leibara Hakadosh Baruch Hu Dover Be'ilomei LeMagona. Everything was created for him, not for us. So, worshiping the human being is mamish avodah zarah. But seeing that every technological advancement is meant to serve Hashem's purpose, that's exactly the opposite of Napoleon.
But was the Rebbe's fear of emancipation and what liberty would do to people? Whereas today we're embracing, we're saying, look, through the internet you can go anywhere and do anything and be Marabit's Torah anywhere, and the kids with the internet, they're all knowing. In that respect, has Chabad changed?
No, I don't think so.
Napoleon was against the ghetto, and the Tsar embraced the ghetto, the Pale of Settlement. And the Rebbe basically said, I want the ghetto, I don't want to break down the ghetto's walls. By embracing the internet, isn't that the essence of what it means to sort of breaking down ghetto's walls?
No. I don't think breaking the walls is a bad thing, and I don't think the Rebbe would prefer living in ghettos, even the Alter Rebbe. No, it was the veneration of the human that was the evil of Napoleon. Freedom is not a bad thing. Taking us out of Mitzrayim no one ever regretted that. No, it was Napoleon's shitta about who is God, and he considered himself God, he considered the human being God. That was pure evil. And for that, better to sit in a ghetto that the Ibishta created than to start worshiping yourself. But freedom was always a good thing. I think Hermann Wouk in the 50s said to the Rebbe, this is not Europe. You can't tell Americans what to do. And the Rebbe said, you can't tell them, but if you teach them, they're free to do everything. So freedom is a blessing, as long as you see it as a blessing from Hashem, not as a victory for the human superiority or whatever, that kind of narishkeit. The Rebbe saw every level and every layer of the universe as in need of tikkun. You have to bring kedusha, you have to bring godliness everywhere. So when the radio waves were finally broadcasting Toza, whether it was Rabbi Teitz or Rabbi Weinberg, the Rebbe was thrilled. This is a new layer, a new, like the onion. It was a new peel being introduced, having Kedusha introduced to it. Sound waves. There's Toza floating in the air. The Rebbe was excited about that. And then when television was used to broadcast Fabringens, that was a whole new frequency. And that frequency was now experiencing Kedusha. And then the microwave came along, the internet, the Wi-Fis, and now that's being brought into Kedusha. So layer after layer, the world, the universe, is being conquered with Torah. So there's the mystical level of what's going on as well. And as we get closer to Mashiach, no part of the world can be left out. So on the contrary, we need to push the holy use of airwaves, of microwaves, of television waves. It's, you know, milu es ha'aretz v'kifshuha. It's time to take the world back from unholiness and bring it back to its Kedusha. And yes, it is risky.
Manas, it's an honor, as usual, to have you on with us.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Stay gesund. Stay healthy. Yeah. Cool. Bye-bye.
With us from New York, joining us is Dr. Eli Shapiro. His doctorate is in education. He's also an LCSW. He's an expert in education. He's spoken at a good consortium of Jewish day schools, International Conference of Chabad Shluchim, etc. Welcome, Dr. Shapiro.
Thank you.
So, parents are doing something they've never done before in their lives. They've been in social isolation, many of them, for 7 weeks or so, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, depending. I'm already since after Purim, so it's close to 2 months. And New York State announced there won't be any more schools through the end of the year, through the end of the school season, which means that they're going to be with their kids till July. There may or may not be summer camps. You know, I don't anticipate that there'll be a vaccine before then. So it's hard to imagine. It's hard to understand why camps would open, certainly for people who have grandparents. So nobody's ever experienced being home with their children for 2, 4, 6, 8 months in a row. And a lot of times the parents are home because offices are closed. Talk to us about some of the challenges that this is creating and maybe some of the solutions.
So we have a lot of new experiences for everybody, new experiences for kids, new experiences for parents. And there's a lot of difficulty in adapting to that. In general, when we look at society today, we are the most privileged, wealthiest society ever. And we also have the highest rates of anxiety ever. And so Dr. David Roseman talks about this. Why do we have this this challenge when we are so privileged and we have so much, yet we also have high rates of anxiety? And he identifies that anxiety really stems from the need to control things. And we stress and we worry and we become irritable and fatigued when we're trying to control all the variables. And we suddenly find ourselves in a situation where we really can't control any of the variables, or really minimal. The only variables we can control are staying at home. So we're really limited. And so that elevates anxiety across the board. And then we also add into the equation that everything is being done digitally now with distance learning and Zoom devices and distance work. Devices themselves contribute to elevated anxiety. And now you have parents and families that may traditionally have pushed back against bringing technology into the house or utilizing the internet, and now it's become such a part of their lives. In addition to the pragmatic concerns, it's connecting to Wi-Fi and 8 different devices, drawing on it, and finding a place for each person to do their either schoolwork or their employment or related work. You know, we have all these challenges, all these new experiences that we're not used to that may come in conflict with our values, and putting that all together. It really creates a challenge for many, many people. People need to recognize that Anxiety is a normal response to an abnormal situation. And so just identifying that, I found for many families to be helpful. But then we also have a lot of the pragmatic challenges as well.
So let me ask the question a little different. You're home with your kids. You're half homeschooling them. You're either a father or your mother. You're going out of your mind. You've never encountered this in your life, right? 6 months, 4 months, 3 months, home alone with your kids. You may not even have cleaning help because you don't want them tracking things into the house. Give us some chinuch ideas. You know, how do you prevent yourself from snapping, you know, getting frazzled? I mean, literally creating a very poor example. Give us some ideas. How do you live in a situation like this?
So I think the first step is recognizing that this situation is not an ideal situation, and it's going to cause us to get frazzled, and it's going to cause us to feel stress. And very much like when you fly, they always say to air masks fall down, take care of yourself first, then take care of your kids. So I think it's really important to keep that in mind, that one, recognizing that this is an abnormal situation and that that there's going to be stress and there's going to be challenges. Also, taking care of yourself. It's important that parents take the time to go for a walk, clear their head, take a deep breath, and make sure that their ability to manage themselves is intact before handling a lot of the stresses that they're going to experience from their children. And also, I've been, thinking about what Rabbi Franz said at the Siyum HaShas about perfection being the enemy of good. And we need to keep that in mind as well. We're not going to be perfect. And accepting that fact will allow us to achieve goodness instead of perfection. So as a parent, you know, keeping these things in mind, taking care of yourself, and recognize that we're in a situation that we're going to do the best that we can, and moving forward in that way. Another important piece to keep in mind is that this is temporary. This degree, there are certain things that are, you know, changed permanently, but this degree of families 24/7 in the same house, in the same Dalet Amos, it's a temporary situation. And, you know, when there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it helps us to manage in the situation.
Most parents are not mechanchem. Right? Give us a few chinuch tips. I mean, the schools are mechanchem. Now the parents are doing homeschooling. They're trying to get their kids to get either on the phone or if you have Zoom. Give us some, you know, parenting should, my wife has said this frequently. She said having a child should require a license. Not, you know, to drive a car, you need a license. To become a hairdresser, you need a license. To cut somebody's nail, you need a license. To bring up children, no license required. It happens automatically. Give us, you know, some chinuch advice for this particular period.
So I think that we traditionally think of chinuch as an education endeavor. And a lot of the research is really looking, particularly what the job market is requiring these days, is really skills of managing projects and skills of executive functioning, and less so the academic nuance of being able to multiply fractions and again, I'm talking about general studies more than anything else. But here we have an opportunity as parents that, yes, we're not mechanchim, we're not educators, but we have the opportunity to help instill in our children certain skills that they may not have had the opportunity to do before. So when we think about executive functioning, a parent can drive themselves crazy trying to get their child logged in for every class, print out every sheet, to manage the child's day. But here we have an opportunity to help our children develop the skills in managing a new situation. So while there are going to be glitches along the way that our children are going to need help with, if we can sit them down and teach them how to log in for the class, if we can teach them how to print the document, if we can teach them how to create and manage a schedule, that's the most powerful chinuch and education we can give our children. We're giving them skills that will not only help them in the immediate, but these are skills that will allow them to propel into the future. And it doesn't just limit itself to the distance learning piece. In my home, you had mentioned that the cleaning lady is not here, and there are lots of things going on in the house, but my children now are doing their own laundry. They've been taught,
here, you take your basket, you go down. They learned how to measure the amount of soap to put in the into the washing machine. And this is a new skill that they've developed. And it's not so much just knowing how to do laundry, but it's taking that sense of responsibility and managing their needs in a way that in the past we never really have taken the opportunity to teach our kids. In this case, we have the opportunity and a need to fill.
You're saying, why don't we transpose it, you're saying that your child will rarely in life bump into an isosceles triangle. But creating a schedule, knowing how to be responsible for your schedule, how to log on, how to log off, maintaining a schedule, doing laundry, helping with dishes, it's life skills are much more greater likelihood that they will need those than they will need, you know, trigonometry. And that's this is a wonderful time to teach them those skills.
When I was in school and having to learn, you know, algebra and multiplying fractions and I was less than interested. The teacher always said, you know, you're not going to walk around with a calculator. And it seems that today we do walk around with a calculator. So that particular skill set, I'm not minimizing the importance of a formal education. But, you know, we're in a temporary time that is presenting us an opportunity that in addition to the standard education that our kids are receiving and, you know, discussing where the academic gap might be over the few months that they weren't in a formal school setting, the opportunity that this presents to us to give them the opportunity to develop certain skills, I think it would be wasted if we didn't take advantage of it.
Okay. What are a few absolute do nots, don'ts? You're home with your kids now, and you say temporary. I see this could be 6 months, 3 months, 9 months. I mean, I don't know how, I'm not sure exactly how temporary it is, but give us a few absolute don't, you know, these are like third rail. Don't do this. What would they be?
I think parents, don't beat yourself up if you didn't have a perfect day. You know, we all are going to have days where we are better than other days. And the idea of perfection being the enemy of good, I think is something that we have to keep in mind at all times. We're never going to get it perfect, and we have to focus on doing our best and really focusing on creating an environment at home that keeps kids happy. We want our kids to be happy. We want them to walk out of this with the opportunity for growth. And sometimes we get caught up in the nuance of it, trying to make sure that the exact schedule works out perfectly and, you know, that they spend the exact amount of time outdoors versus indoors, on a screen versus off a screen. And we're never going to get it perfect. We just have to do the best we can. And it's important to recognize that we aren't in control of all the variables and accept that. We have to accept what we can't control and do our best to control what we can. And keeping that in mind, so I think the biggest don't is don't forget all that. You know, don't forget that we're in a situation where we can just do the best that we can.
And let me start too, you know, the Gemara says that there were four perfect people in history. The Gemara says everybody dies because of chait. There were four people died, Bitei Shel Nachash. I believe it was Binyamin ben Yaakov. It was Amram, the father of Moshe. It was Yishai. And one of the kids of David, I don't remember who it was. And they never did an Aveira in their lives. They lived perfect lives. And we don't know anything about any of them, basically. As our leaders were Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Ramban says Avram Chata, you know, Yaakov, Yicharaf Yaakov, Baruchel, right? You know, Yaakov with all his difficulties with Lavan and Chlifas Maskurti, changing and trickery. And then we have Moshe Chata with the Meimariva. None of the perfect people make it onto the Jewish map of greats. So we don't seem to, as a Jewish people, we don't celebrate perfect. We celebrate human, not perfect. And you're suggesting that this is a time for us to remember how human we are.
Well said.
Yeah. So it's the end of 6 months. Let's say pick that's the end of the 6 months. If there's, when we're going to look back, it could be a wasted 6 months. 6 months in quarantine, 6 months in a gilded prison, depending on your home, you know what, Or it could be sort of like, you know, the cat in the cradle. These were just 6 months my children will remember forever. These are the 6 months when instead of running off to school, they got to spend it with their parents. How do we create it that we look back and we say, for our kids, these were the happiest 6 months? What's that one or two things we should do?
So a common phrase that I use when it comes to technology use and life in general is being thoughtful and deliberative. We have to be thoughtful and deliberative. And exactly the point that you're making is we need to keep in mind what do we want it to look like at the end of this period. Stephen Covey talks about begin with the end in mind. So exactly what you're saying is, in 6 months from now, how do we want to look back on this experience? And we can then shape the narrative and we can shape the experience based on what we want the outcomes to be. So if we want it to be that our children remember that, wow, on a Wednesday afternoon, we were able to take a family walk. That's amazing, you know, a socially distant family walk. If we want it to be that our kids remember that there was quality time spent with each other, if we want it to be a time where our kids remember that they developed certain skills, you know, when our kids are, you know, when our boys are getting married down the road and their wife is so impressed that they know how to do laundry, they'll be able to remember back, oh, this was, I learned this skill during, you know, COVID-19. So we can utilize these opportunities to develop these skills, and really keeping in mind what are the memories that we want our kids to have. Do they want the memories of us being stressed out and angry and aggravated and irritable, or do we want it to be memories of growth, of closeness, and of a shared family experience that strengthened everybody?
6 months of Chol Hamoed.
But even more than Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed, we have the stress of planning trips and activities. We don't have that stress now.
Well, Dr. Eli, thank you very much for your wonderful, kind, and thoughtful advice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joining us from New York is Dr. Meir Wickler. He's a well-known psychotherapist and family counselor with offices in Brooklyn and Lakewood. He's the author of 12 books, many shiurim on many lectures on Torah Anytime. He's a Talmud of the Boston Rebbe, of Reb Shlomo Brevda, the Nava Minsk Rebbe, davened by for 40 years, Lahavdil Menachem Menachem, Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Welcome, Dr. Wickler.
Thank you.
By the way, I had one experience. I was in Boston many years ago. I was a bacha, and I went into the Boston Rebbe to Mekabel Pneyer. So he looked at me. So I was a yeshiva. He said, would you mind answering my phone for a little while, the Shilas? I was 21 or 22 years old. I said, he said, yeah, you could paskin for me, don't worry. And he left, and the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and somebody says, I said, hello. I said, Rabbi? So he said, I said, yes. He says, I have a question for you. So I'm thinking, you know, I was a yeshiva bach. I knew your vamis backwards and forwards. I mean, she says, I have a product. It's kosher for Passover. Can I eat it after Passover too? And that was the first psak I made in my life. I said, absolutely, you can eat it after Pesach. And I many years later, and I still think I passed incorrectly.
Thanks. And I see the Boston Rebbe had good judgment in putting you in charge of his phone at that time.
Yeah. So let me ask you, we're going through a time of sort of unprecedented in our lives, maybe in many, I don't know, decades, maybe centuries, where people are locked up, the whole world, from Jeff Bezos down, is locked up, b'yichidus, right, badad, and the loy toiv hayos adam levadai. I mean, there are never sadly people who are levadai, but even people who are with a wife, with stuck in the house, I should say stuck, in the home with children, because that's a pejorative. And we know that isolation can create real mental health issues. Can you give us, as a psychotherapist, some advice as to, you know, what do we do in this unprecedented situation?
Okay, well, first of all, not everyone is isolated. There are many families with, k'nai nahara, many children, where the thought of isolation would be a relief. They're on top of each other 24/7, and the normal breaks that we would expect under normal circumstances of the kids going to yeshiva at Beis Yaakov, the father going to kollel or to work, and the mother going out shopping, these are opportunities we don't have. So just want to point out that it's not just the nesayon of isolation, it's also the nesayon of being so close together in cramped quarters for such an extended period of time. There's bound to be issues of sibling rivalry that are going to be exacerbated when children are on top of each other 24/7 and they don't get that break. When it comes to sibling rivalry, it's helpful when parents try not to become arbitrators because they didn't see the whole issue. They weren't there all the time. And in addition, it's important for children to learn how to negotiate their differences with each other without the parents stepping in and trying to sort things out for them. It's a social skill of dealing with an older brother who's bigger and stronger or a younger sibling that's smaller and weaker. And children need to learn that social skill of dealing with that power differential that exists because some children are older and some children are smaller on their own without the parents trying to micromanage it for them. So number one, I would recommend that parents try not to get involved as much as they can and let the children sort things out for themselves. That's one recommendation that I have. A second one is that even though we don't have the external structure of school and work and kollel and minyanim and so on, it's very important for people to try to create their own structure to the day. Recently, someone commented to me that her husband is getting up at 10:30 every morning. It's driving her crazy. When before he was getting up at a normal hour, but now he doesn't have that pressure and he's sleeping late and it's driving her crazy. So people should try to maintain a structure, not just for getting up and davening on time, not just talking about making Zman Kriya Shma and Zman Tefillah, but having a regular Seder for the davening, even if it's B'yachidus. And also with the family, there should be regular times for meals and not just whenever anyone is bored to go to the refrigerator. And there should be regular times for learning at home and regular times for relaxation. The children shouldn't feel that it's just a hefker and they can do whatever they want all day long. The parents should try to build in some structure, some time when we're together, some time when we do things independently. And having that structure in the day can go a long way to ameliorating some of the stresses of this prolonged lockdown that we have.
Almost writing out a schedule for the day.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's what I do in the morning. I make a list of everything I want to accomplish, and sort of at the end of the night, I could check it off. But having a schedule times for, you know.
That's very helpful. So what I've recommended is that sometimes it's better not to listen to the news and not to read the newspaper. But if you do happen to see an article about some current report or finding or research or pronouncement by some government official, it's a exercise to try to find the positive kernel in what's being said. Not everything is 100% negative, and there can always be some kernel of positivity to latch onto that can give someone encouragement. So, for example, I was giving this recommendation to someone recently. And they said to me, oh, that's well and good if they talk about the numbers going down and the deaths going down and the hospitalizations going down and so forth. But what do you do when you have a report from top medical experts saying that in his opinion, he believes that there could be a resurgence and it could come back again. And then where will we be? Then what's going to happen? So I said to this person, well, in that report that you said was completely negative, I heard two pieces of positive information. Really? What's positive about the fact that it could be a resurgence of the virus and we could be hit again in the fall with another outbreak? I said, well, just read again that headline that you read to me. Well, Dr. Fauci, actually the person quoted, said in his opinion, there could be a resurgence of the of the virus in the fall. What positive thing do you see there? I said, well, number one, he used the word could. And could includes also could not. He didn't say it will. He said it could. Now, I'm sure if he was talking about the sun coming up tomorrow, he'd say the sun will come up tomorrow. He wouldn't say the sun could come up tomorrow. But since he's not 100% sure, he said there could be a resurgence, and that means it could just as well not be a resurgence. Well, what's the second thing? I said, well, the second thing is that he said, in my opinion. Now, he's not going to say, in my opinion, the sun's coming up tomorrow. He's saying, let's say the sun is coming up tomorrow. That's a fact. But he's giving a qualification. He's qualifying it. It means he's opening the back door. He's leaving himself room. So that's the kind of positive kernels you need to look for whenever you're trying to digest the news.
In other words, it's I have yamim lireis tov.
Exactly.
Be ishach hafeit chayim. I have yamim lireis tov. Look for the positive.
Exactly. Correct.
In other words, lashon hara also means when we paint the black light on the world, it's a self-fulfilling destiny. And if we in everything we look at the other side of it, there could be a vaccine. The Rebbeinu Shalom will look out for us. If we act cautiously and we're careful and we practice, self-distancing, we see many communities don't have any deaths. Those that have done the right precaution. So maybe we'll be one of them. And Leroy Stav, using Emuna to be a Leroy Stav.
Exactly. And that will lead to a longer, healthier life. Yeisha Chofetz Chaim, who wants to live long and wants to have a healthy life, then he has to train himself to Liros Tov, to see the kernel of good and positivity and optimism wherever he can find it.
Ganz fein is Eichid Gut.
That's right.
Now the Gemara says, Arbo mei subite shal nachash. Four people were absolutely perfect. And we would think, who are the most perfect people? Mestama Moshe, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, David HaMelech, David Malka Mashiach. All four, if you asked your average child, he would know, have never heard the names. Right. Amram, Yishai, the Ben of David, Binyamin. All unheralded people.
Right.
It doesn't seem the Jews ever respected or ever really aspired for perfectionism.
Right.
We want Anshei Kodesh Yuli, the Kotzkarab, said Enosh is the most, as Adam, right, as Ish, Tzadik, right? Enosh is the lowest. It means human. Like he said, Machla Noishi. It's a human, a Machla that takes the human out of this world. It's the lowest Darga. So the Katzke said, Anshei Kodesh, I wanted holy humans. I didn't want Malachim, Tzadikim. I wanted the guy who usually eats two donuts. Maybe today he'll eat a donut and a half. I just wanted the minimum of just good enough is good for me.
Yeah. So that leads into what I was just gonna say. The Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu reserves special reward for those who are Yirei Shemayim v'Choshvei Shmo. And the Gemara says, well, Yirei Shemayim we understand, but what's the Choshvei Shmo? So the Gemara says this is a reference to people who are trying to do a mitzvah and they're prevented from doing it. And Malei La'Kosev, Aleim La'Kosev, Kilo Asa. They tried to do a mitzvah, they were prevented from doing it, they get credit as if they had done it. And that's an example of what I call partial credit. You didn't do everything you're supposed to do. You wanted to do a mitzvah. You weren't able to. You failed. But you had good intentions. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards that. The same way a Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards our good intentions when we try to do a mitzvah and we're prevented from doing it. Like we want to go to shul. We want to daven with a minyan. We want to go into the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is closed. The shul is closed. A Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us credit as if we had done it. But we didn't do it. And yet he gives us credit. The same way, we have to follow his example. We have to imitate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that means we have to give each other partial credit.
Dr. Wexler, what's the silver lining from this? The Jews believe that we, Ki imberach tani. Yaakov says to the Sarishal Yosef, I fought, I got hurt. I'm not letting you go. I have to see the blessing here. What's the blessing here?
There's many blessings. There's blessings for everyone who caught the virus and recovered. It's a tremendous blessing. There's tremendous blessing for people who have been quarantined in their homes and have not caught the virus. There's tremendous blessing in that. There's tremendous blessing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing us how much we want and need our Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos and our yeshivas. And perhaps he's helping us to realize the importance of our tefillah, that we should be davening, that he should open up the doors of the Batei Midrash and the Batei Knesios. And perhaps in our private tefillahs, in our davening at home, we've been able to put more kavanah into our davening and to feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With all that's going on and all the suffering and pain that people have gone through, as well as the yeshuas that we've experienced on a daily basis, that I think it's been an opportunity for us to try to reconnect and strengthen our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that may be part of the silver lining of this whole crisis.
Dr. Wickler, thank you very much for your time. It's an honor to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me. Carlton, bye-bye.
Chaylich and Psychis as man, Baruch Hagun, Rebbe Chamayr, Sherenburg, Rambe, Yeshiva, Smir. No aide ma hayt tun dem shie fam geit zi ma vayl zan di sot fikin ye kaysef in kidisha kaysef fil khov zug na puvert ma shatef zan de moilem mit mame machshuves in di teig ze nifte gewon a puteg tsri kein geman geisen rebium in volks de labavitz shlier in hanover in mizrach deutschland Der Oilem weiß, ich bin nicht der größte Lubavitch der Chusid, aber zu dem Jid vielleicht ein mürdiger Kurs hat auf, der Jid hat mir eine gewisse Prinne mit Chamach gewähnt, in dem sie verstehen, Tafkidoi vechoivusoi של Udom באילומוי. Ein bisschen mehr wie 13 Jahre zurück, Pirem, bin ich gewähnt in Deutschland, in Hannover, wenn Amida Chesed, Reb Meilech Fierischlit hat mir dort nach hingeschickt, mit der Bucher Zadik, Yankel Perlmutter, der Freunde Lebruchem, der Zahn Ugescheid, Lchaim, Teuwe, Marikim. Dort du ein extra Spitul, Verkopp, Operatius, Verkopp, Surgeries. Der ganze Spitul ist geboten, in der Ziere von der Kopp, der spiegelige Kopp. Dort du Zawenz Mimche, Professor Sami Majid, der Araber von Iran, wo sie der Zawenz Künstliche in operieren Leulein, wie man darf operieren dem Kopf, dem Moyer, dem Geisamoyer, dem Thalamus, dem Hypothalamus. Und da will es mich, und dann genug, wenn der Machle ist frie, kommen die Jankele Perlmutter, der Kräuner, der Vruch, genug der Operation, jetzt ist Ruhl. Und mir am Eilig vier Schlitte, die Budelchaim, Teufel gesucht haben, ein Stück Abreire, mit der Verhinfung in Deutschland. Schön, da erledigt ein Appointment, wir gefahren dort in Deutschland. Ich bin mich schon tuk, bin ich gewähnt dort, ich betul, zusammen mit Jankel und Budelchaim Töwe. In meiner Nacht bin ich geschlafen dort gegenüber dem Hotel. Hotel heißt Mercure. In dort bin ich gewähnt allein, eine ganze Zeit. Meistens die zwei, drei Wochen bin ich gewähnt dort in Deutschland allein bei der Nacht. Schreckige Platz, die Chuliganen, die Datschen, immer gefährlicher Antisemitism, sie dort in Antisemiut. Kamme Pumen, und darf da doch kein dort nach Gas, und zugestellt der Karin, geschrieben Jude, Zwief, auf Französisch, Ximone mit der Hand, Abke de Kachas, dort ein Hotel, Tumen ist reichern. No, ich hab da mal rausgegangen, von der Lobby, zu reichern, und draußen der Hotel, hat mit dem Manager von Hotel gesucht, er kann nicht nehmen, kein Arves, er kann nicht sagen, versichert, also ich soll mich drehen, also in draußen, mit den Talaskuten, mit den Pais, mit den Kappel, En zich draaien dat nog een gast reichen, want hem gezoekt, hij gaat naar het zimmer oeven, de achte stok, zijn leidige stok. En dat gaat hem een extra hitte, begraven, dat heeft de daad, die mag ze om, als ze me zitten, als die paar Wochen, wo ich stehe dort nahm, kann ich reichen in die Nachtschuhe, in der Weinig, in das Zimmer. Akupuna hat sich dort bekannt mit dem Lubavitcher Schlier, Rabbi Yumen Wolf, haben schon geriefen, Fahmi gefahren, Ketzes Ruhl, Fahmi ist auch ausgefahren von Ketzes Ruhl, mit Gebeten bringen ein Päcklich von Nasch, und kommen andere Konserven mit der Scheirem, ein ganzer Ränzel zu zwei, eingeschleppt von ihm. In dort hat er immer gebringt, Kusche zu essen, jeden Tag, weiß, hab ich gekocht, ich kann Fleisch, aber heimisch essen, ein bisschen 50 Zulotzig. In azoy bad mekh bin khapu mul ze mekim nem fi shpitul gven dot nem bet khabat ka dot gam ta shayno it rasfurem khidish es furem in khom mit dem verbringt in brauchs fun es parles fun dem geman ein geman mit zum kimle iret zum zuk alle mul pre iret bin loize riu in a medbera mit beshmumu ob er hanove far wenn dem geman es dort gekimme is kashim yidishkeit nicht gewen gurn ist nicht auf la groese schiel nicht kam moel nicht kasho ich het gurn nicht was hat zum schmir ist teure misses in er dort allein ungekimmen sei der eiden bei am spach als grimberg die ganze spuch in schließen mit der ganze welt hat nicht mehr nicht weiter gegen nehmen auf telefon wie ich in ungem probieren zu gessen man nachher zu sagen wer da yid der grief mir für bist da yid für bist nicht kayid in deutschland das extra schwer Zag me spuchen nemen, maaien, steden, natuurlijk, was ken, gaat ze voor de moden, waar hij me voor nemen. Op het samengekrapt, zag ik hem van tijdelijke me spuchen, zo hem gezoekt, ja, de mam is hij, de tat is hij. En als ik het woongoe in hem, zag ik naar buiten, zag ik goed wel moenen. A wegstellen, a ganzen Tug van Schieren. In de Friede, ik voel met Noto zusammengenommen, dort nu a grüße Gemeinde, a grüße Kehille van Russische, het geleerd Russisch, en het aangebrengt zich in de heim met Anoto, a po Russische Jiden, geleerd met zij Psykim, Shema Yisruel, Jiddischkeit, eppes, a po nog gedenkt. Mitte hat er gehabt, also wenn die Schools dort, die Schules endigen, hat er heimgehen mit Kinder, jüdische Kinder, en het ausgelernt, du aber Schäfer auf der Welt, du hast Schabbos auf der Welt, man hat zwar Studenten, aber für jüdische, für Mädelstudenten, den ganzen Tag, den ganzen Nacht, diese Vernehmen, sie probieren, treffen Jiden, mit Karolans Jiedischkeit, hat mir gesagt, dass der große Simcha, wenn du dort noch vier Jiden, wo sie schon Mama ist, dann beginnen schon mit teuren Mitzvahs, Kupunem der Reicher nicht Schabbos, und er macht Arminien Rosh Hashune, Arminien Yom Kippet, man viele geriefen für Arminien Krise am Megille, dort noch, weil er maß hat er gemacht, der Eulam hat nicht kennt, kommen bei Nacht, hat er gemacht, die Krise am Megille, dann ist erst noch mit, und ich habe gefallen, die ganze Megille-Leinen dort, bin ich nicht gegangen, ich wollte aufnehmen, nach Fliege, nach Zürich, aber klar, die Miet habe ich speziell gelernt kennen, ihn habe gesehen von mir, ein Mann, ein mischinnetiger Mitzlich, mit seltenen Talenten, seltenen Geschreunen, er kann sich an Eiz geben, er kann Sprachen, er redet mit Ältere, also wie mit Ältere, mit Jünger, also wie mit Jünger, mit Kinder, also wie mit Kinder, ihn mit der Haie, mit der Haies, in der Arbeit, nicht mir verzeiht, also er hat schon dort noch Lier gewesen zu machen, gewisse Connections mit Politikanten, mit hohen Beamten, er hat gemacht dort eine große Nerechanike Party, in der Meer dort, von der Nover gekommen, in der Boot sich schon dort nach Beis Chabad, in Schregen, bei Jungen, wie geht es reizen mit Panuse, er mitschen sich sehr stark, die alle Ränzlich, was ich angebringt, verkäuft er amul von anderen Jiden, dort du in Hannover, ab 2-3 amul ein Euro größte Exhibitions von Elektronics oder von Diamant, von Jewelry, und sie kommen amul ein, mit Jiden darf man sie alle bei, sie schließen, man rief dem, man kommt dem, man verkäuft ein bisschen, man probiert er, ich dachte mir, ob ich den Clou, sein Frau, neid ein bisschen, macht ein bisschen ziesige Kleider, aber mit sich stark auf Panusse, darf ich allein hinterhalten, er probiert sie, wir kommen von der Regierung, kommen nicht aktiv hin. In Vermögen mit Spur gewohnt, Mama ist die Frage mal weggefahren, aber ich habe gesagt, Benni, ich muss die Frage an Kasse, da geht die Benni, sage ich ihm. Die bist ein Mann, wo so ruhige Heid gekannt, was dir sein, in Leben, sei begascht mir ist, aus dem Schnittige geschreun ist, ist da ein hyperer Gummer von einem vollen Mensch, der Arbus mit Amin, Keuer, war Bulldozer, jede Sache, wo du leikst daran, leikst daran, business auf. Kennst Sprachen, kennst connectieren Menschen, du kennst Relationships mit Menschen, also Geschmack, also Übertan. In der Film, wir brauchen jetzt, was kennt oft, der Neishi, wer am Moise, der Heide, die, in der Basis, als solche Menschen von der Sie, wie kennst sich du leben, als Samen mit Beschwummer, als Schneendamme, Spuche, für ganze Jungen, als sie trefft sich mit seinen Kindes, als Schlichen dort in Kraunheit, aber ost nicht gut nicht, nicht keine Jüdischkeit, nicht keine Gashmiz, nicht keine Rochnis, mit sich auf Panuse, darfst fuhren kann am 2,5 Uhr weg, auf zu gehen in Mikve, bringe Fleisch, bringt man ihn von Paris oder von Antwerpen, probiert sich allein zu schächten, darf man, hat sich verlassen, dachte man, der muss auf seine eigene Schritte. Azam min schwere leben, de kinder om nicht tegenheer, je gaat dus alleen door de internet, antwoord is een gewoon, meer normaal, op het celebratie, hoe ze riek is, ik weet maar om is het staf te connecten, met dat kind van doen, dat kind van doden, aan virtuale scherebben. Ik versta het niet, als ik kent die zijn gashmiers, zijn rochmiers, maar het vlieg dan al zo sterk. Ik ben een auto op een week terug, van Beis Chabad, van zijn hoes. En befraat zich hem dan, die schemmiot wo de laatst doe, daar voel a polizei voet daarin zijn oz 24 schoen mesles, draait zich hem a polizei karen jenem gas, en de ganze gas van alle raten is ongepakt met kameras, trapache da schrek, woes, fa woes en fa wen. Er geht maar zoek, Rabbi Tshamayel, gret een pissel met a russische exit, efje wat het gelernt, russische ganse doek, Rabbi Tshamayel, ik verstehe niet mijn vragen. Ich wusste, wo es am Morgen kann schon fragen, der fragt der sehr apustisch alle. Bist du ein Mensch, du kennst ihn Cyber-Gashmiz, Cyber-Rochmiz, was du kennst man zu dir sein, was du am Spuche. Bist du ein Nefisch, kipschito, nicht da, man muss ihr das Nefisch doch umstrengen, amur, jede Tugend, jede Macht, diese schwere Arbeit, sich und probieren, Team. Rabbi Tshamayel! Er geht mal da schreien, da schrieb es, aber da sage ich schrei. Ihr wisst, von was ich bin da! Ich sage, nein, du fragst doch. Weil ich gerade, wie ich gerade, ich mehr habe. Ich gerade, wie ich gerade, ich mehr habe. Er hat gekritzelt. Sind auch Jeden da in Deutschland. Verweihte Jeden. Was weiß ich, dass ich da Hashem echod und Schmei echod. Und unser Tafkid auf die Welt ist beschaffen am Matze von ich gerade, wie ich gerade, ich mehr habe. Ich kenne mich mal so sagen, teure, liebe Buchrim. Ach, lechtige Buchrim. Ein Mensch mit dieser Paschte, dieser liebendige Minne, mit dieser Tmimes von Emmes, dieser Reinkheit. Wo sei es der Frieg? Er sieht etwas an Stelle, er sieht etwas an Kuvert, er sieht etwas Rochliges von sich, dann am Arbeitsteure, er sieht etwas an Fluch in Geld, in Kuvert, in Garten, greit, mit der Wab, mit den Kindern. Leben in Deutschland mit schrecklichem Antisemitism und Kapanusse. Und viele gehörige Minion hat mich geleint für sich, aber er will wechseln der Krise, aber gehen mit uns machen für ihre noch Mittag, dann muss keine Eulen kommen, bei Nacht ist es spät. Und er geleint und dann ist es noch Mittag, die Megille, also versuch nicht, aber wenn man Ruhe zu Jod, nicht ausgehalten, noch gar nicht daran an der Brutin, also noch gar nicht daran, klar an der Brutin, finde die ganze Ulrich Heilige Lubavitch. Aber, Ayid, was war der richtige, heilige, Aruchem, heilige Ideal von Oftem von Rebunischleum und Schmuisern Nevergrün, kippschiet euch! Is Gadel, is Kade, Schmei, Rabo! Mit an Emes, mit an Tmimes, mit an Simche, mit an Chayes. Nicht drei bis zu Lelfmann, aber ich habe weg von dem Geist. Ich hoffe, dass die Bucher mit sich genickt, die Leute in Amerika, mit allen Simonen, mit allen, mehr wie Simonen, das ist ein Beginn von Buhurig Beraglow, und nicht einer, nur Harig in Beraglow, und es gibt eine gewisse Läusigkeit, gewisse interessante Killes in dem, ich hoffe, die Bucher geben sich ja Achtung, wie mehr es ist möglich, wie stärker es ist möglich, in alle anderen Sachen, in der Rabunen, die Gemitzes, oder viele in Junem, Haluches, Chivem, von Zibbe, von Mikve, von alle Sachen, Awade, oi, sie du, ach, schaas, stufe, gefeck, zweike, von der Pekich Nefes, Awade, die alle Sachen wären nitge, sind nicht, wogen Pschiet im Jöit, ne, aber ich finde, die mein Geifel ist weggegangen, aber sag, Mool, herangeklebt, in dem Misserschmiss, was du gehabt, da, Misserschmiss, in drei Minuten, aber es ist mit dem, was er ran an den Beinen, Trickenkeit, zu früh, noch probiert, leben mit dem Gedanke, ich darf gedenken, wo sie dann tafkid auf der Welt, Is Gadael, wie is Gadael, Shmai Rabu. Da heb ze helfen, der Rebin Jumen Wolf, Ben Remend, Lula Vashulem, Lunkie met zijn rechtigen plaats in Ganeiden, in Rovat, Zeen, die kinderlich nach zusammen, die so im Macht, die so im Schrein, jetzt zusammen ist Gadal, wie ist Kadal, ist mein Rabbo, der Reib soll unhören, die Kadaischem, und der Reib soll schon Rechmonesum auf Klallisruhl, und ich soll immer alle Lume da, ich soll immer alle Zerusseine da, und soll sehen, Bekurev, הגאילה שלמה, האישיה קרויבה, רפיה פעל לכל ישרול, ונעל רבריים, יסמידי בבריאיסום, זולקנן ועת, טינטה כפקידי שמוי איסבורך, איסגדלי, איסגדלי, שמרוי ממזן קרן הטור, צריק אומפל דם קויל דם צפצפם, קויל קול ינקה שמצפצפם בבוטה הכנסייה, זלמנצר, דלכתיקאית, במזמן, דוילם טרסקת, לרנן, הורבד, באיין, איין, אומולה טוירה, הודאי קייטייף, זו זוכר זו בקורף, זה הגמצה, רכתיגה, ישיים. זו זוכר זו צריק, הורבן ולרנן, ברכו וסדאס, לבוד המדרושם, זו זוכר זו תגיל לקרוי ובמהיר וביומי נאומה. גם הצריק צים יסוד השיר, יסוד קניין כסף.